रसोहम अप्सु कौंदेय प्रभास्मि शशि सूर्ययोः प्रणव सर्ववेदेषु शब्दखे पौरुषं नृषु.
That is the words we are looking at, isn't it? Eight words.
Verse 8. Rasoham. Krishna first said, the important statement in that chapter is, Matta paradaram na anyan, kinjid asti dhananjaya, mayi sarvamidam prodam, sutre manigana iva. That is the most important verse there. To substantiate that statement, Krishna is going on now talking about Krishna's presence in this world in different form. In different forms, how he is present in this world. And that is where Matta Paradaram Nanyat Kinjidasti Dhananjaya. First of all, Krishna makes the statement, there is nowhere I am not present. That's the first thing. Matta Paradaram Nanyat Kinjidasti Dhananjaya. Understand that, Arjuna. Mayi Sarvamidam Pravadam. In everything there is me. Sutre Maniganaiva. Just like a thread is linked to all the pearls. In other words, the whole creation, there is one thread. That's Krishna in everything. Mayi sarvamidam pravadam sutre manigana iva. After saying that, Krishna started talking about places where you could see where Krishna is present. And examples in the Bhagavadam where this realization has come from different devotees. So first thing he's talked about water, isn't it? Rasoham apsu kaundeyam. Water, I am the taste. He says, water, I am the taste. Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. In the sun and the moon, the light that comes from the sun and the moon, that's me. That is me. Pranava sarva vedeshu. In all the Vedas, the letter Om, pranavam, is me. And shabdhakhe, the sound in the sky, is me. Because the sky, the sound is transmitted. Paurusham Rashu, the ability in a person is me. And that ability referring I mentioned that very clearly, that when a person decides to control the mind and the senses and puts all his effort to turn the attention inwards, to realize the self, that force or the energy that's coming from him is Krishna. Is Krishna, not the other inabilities in this world. For example, as I said, the ability for management, ability in sports, ability in music, various abilities you find. This particular one is what Krishna is referring here. Paurusham Nrushu, he says there. Shabdakhe Paurusham Nrushu. So after saying all that, we saw this in the same verse that in the past, I gave many examples that the Ayurvedam also, that because Krishna is present in the water, water was used as a, knowing very well Krishna is present in the water, they used the water and chanted powerful mantra and offered it to the patient and cure the illness from them, just by giving the water to them. And using the water in all spiritual ceremonies is not new. Even in the Christianity, they do the same thing, isn't it? While baptizing, water is used. Why water? Why not something else? Because water, from the Vedic times, the same understanding has gone into other religions also, in the same way it has come. But over a period of time, Jesus came and spoke Christianity, and he brought the Bible into this world. In that way it has came, but the principles hasn't changed. They all remain the same. So rasoham apsu kaundeya, that's what you are discussing. That similarly, powerful mantram like Sri Rudram, Chamakam, Narayana Suktam, they are all used and chanted properly with water. Personalities who have got that austerity and tapasya in them, they could use them for the benefit of others in that way. So what is the difference here is that you can see that we don't really see Krishna's presence in the water. We don't recognize it within ourselves, isn't it? We are thinking what the scientists have told us, that is two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen. That is the best explanation we can give for the water. That's how we will say H2O. What you understood. And we think that there is no life in the water. Isn't it? There's no life in the water. It's something chemical or whatever you say. It's a combination of chemicals. This is not Vedic understanding. The sages are telling us, don't look at things in that way. Because if you start looking at it, you're gone. Then you will not understand spiritual life at all. So, there is a mystery in everything. In spiritual life is a mystery. And what the science has done, it has demystified everything. Brought it into the level of matter and chemicals and all that. In other words, this modern science, this is the greatest tragedy of this scientific education. After years and years of the scientific study, it becomes very difficult to go back to the understanding that water is Krishna's presence there in the water. It's very difficult to accept that for them. Because whole year, so many exams you have done studying this water is hydrogen and oxygen. So naturally, hydrogen and oxygen has become the deity, not anymore Krishna. Is it not? So the same thing is that. But in the Bhagavatam, if you study Bhagavatam, that we have a very huge task. In one instance, this prayer we are singing today, what is that? Yashomati Nandan. In that there is a word, Asuragula Nashana. Isn't it? Asuragula Nashana. So, once it so happened, Prabhupada gave this name to someone. Asuragula Nashana. Which is the right word. Asuragula Nashana means that one who kills the Asuragulam, demons, right? So, Prabhupada asked him, who is this Asuras? He says, you know. So, he, based on that particular time in Ishkan's history, he said, Asuras means the karmis, he said. Karmis. That's what this answer. Prabhupada said, no, not karmis, a scientist, he said. That's what he said. Prabhupada said, scientist. You can see how much Prabhupada finds it strong on that point. His point is this, that this is what the science has done. And he also said, to get this educated youth to understand Krishna, I have to shed liters, thousand gallons of blood, he said, to get it in their head. That there is some other dimension to life, to spiritual dimension in life. So difficult it is when you have gone through this system of education. And that is how influential this society by the modern science, isn't it? Science has told them that science, everything there is science. And the result is that they completely lost the essence of life, in other words. So Krishna is saying here that everything is connected together and I am present there. Krishna is present there. There is no place where Krishna is not present in this creation. There is no place where Krishna is not present. And you can see personalities like Prahlada, they knew this. Prahlada knew these things. And when you read that Prahlada's punishments to Prahlada from Hiranyakashipu, you start wondering that, isn't it? How could Prahlada sustain that torture? What Hiranyakashipu has inflicted on him? If you read that torture, it is very painful, isn't it? And then that is when these people start saying, oh, it's all stories, just to make you feel comfort, happy, that we make a devotee, to get you into their group, they'll say all these things. Some old man sitting in Himalayas, he wrote this, all these stories, you know, he was hit. How can, they'll ask the question straight away. If you tell a scientist or student in the university, he will ask you this question. You can tell me all this, but keep to yourself, they will say to you. They won't accept it. It's difficult for them. So they'll say, how can this be? If an elephant has hit a person, by all logic and reasoning, he should die, isn't it? Or if he is thrown from the cliff of high mountains, he should die. Or if he is bitten by these powerful snakes, what's mentioned there, he should die. But he didn't die, did he? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't die. And you think that Sukadeva Goswami was sitting there and Parikshit was going to die, he was going to tell him all these stories without any sense, just to keep Parikshit occupied in something so that he doesn't have to get frightened about death. No, that's not Srimad Bhagavatam. Because they can't think all that things, completely absorbed in the body and the signs. They're completely caught in that, caught up in that. And they can't think anything beyond than that. Science is the only truth for them. That's why Prabhupada said, they are this asuras, the modern world, the scientists, he said. It's not a personal thing. What he's saying is how you are damaged by this education in this particular way. So, but when you look at Prahlada's story, and if you know the science from Bhagavad Gita, you won't have any problem in accepting what Prahlada was going through. You won't have any problem in accepting that. Prahlada Krishna, he says, when you look at Prahlada's story, when Prahlada saw, he was thrown into the sea. He was thrown into the sea by Hiranyakashipu. The water in the sea, Prahlada is seeing as Krishna. Prahlada is seeing as Krishna. So if Brahmam stage, Sarvam Brahmam Bhavati, Sarvakhalidam Brahma, that is that stage of Prahlada. Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, only Brahmam exists. No water exists, no mountains exist, no elephant exist. They are all based on our vision through the body and the senses. That's what we are seeing. And that's what we are, our experience at the moment is through the sense and sensual world. That's all we know today. But Prahlada has gone beyond all that. He has completely realized only Brahmam exists. Sarvakhalidam Brahma, what Upanishad is saying, that stage he has reached. Gone beyond all the body, all the mind, senses, everything. Charapurusha, Charapurusha, he has crossed and come to the Purushottama stage in the Bhagavad Gita. So when he comes to that, he says, therefore, sea could not do anything to him. Sea could not do anything. If you look at it from the bodily level, yes, if you look at it, Prahlada should go into the water, he should drown, and he won't get any oxygen to breathe, so he has to leave his body. But it didn't happen. Why? So reason is this, that if a person is realized to that degree, self-realization has happened, Prahlada is not identifying anymore with his own body. He is purely seeing there is only spirit in the whole creation, nothing else. And if it has reached that stage, for him, body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist for him. His own body doesn't exist for him. It has gone that level. So when he was thrown into the sea, Hiranyakashipu is seeing his body. Prahlada is seeing Brahmam everywhere. In the water is Brahmam. The elephants are Brahmam. The snakes are Brahmam. Nothing is different. It's Krishna's manifestations there all. So that's why the ocean is not doing anything to him. It's not doing anything to him. And similarly, the mountains from where he was thrown, he's seeing mountains as Krishna. Not as the gross matter of earth and the stones, what we would see there. That's not what he was seeing. So they don't do anything. Similarly, the lions, the snakes, everything, Prahlada is only seeing Krishna there in all of them. All these statements in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is saying that we have to also just not read the stories alone. We also have to know what is the principle behind it, isn't it? Then when Krishna is saying, Pandita Samadarshina, that equal vision everywhere, you think Krishna is just joking that you should see Samadarshitvam everywhere? It is a state of self-realization. A particular state in self-realization is this Samadarshitvam, equal vision. Kamvayum Agnim Salilam Mahimcha. Isn't it? Kamvayum Agnim Salilam Mahimcha. Disheshu Sattvani Janodrumani. If you look into Bhagavadam, you will see there that Pipalayana Maharshi. Kavi Maharshi is saying this to King Nimi, that what is the state of a devotee who has come to that perfect realization. And that is where he says there, in the Bhagavadam, if you look into the second chapter, Kavi says there, Kamvayum agnim salilam mahimcha jodim shi sattvani dishodrumadin saril samudram chahare shariram yalkinja budam pranamedananya. He says, Kamvayum agnim salilam mahimcha. Kam means the sky. Vayu, air. Agni, fire. Salilam, water. Mahi, earth. The five material elements. What else? Jodishi sattvani dishodrumadin. All the planets and planetary systems all directions, everywhere. Saril samudramsha hare, all the oceans, everything is Krishna's body. They are saying it as Krishna's body. In other words, Kavi is saying that a devotee who has reached that state of degree of realization, all what he will see in this creation is Krishna, nothing else. All he will see is Krishna. That means, spiritually, he has come to such a high state of realization. That is what it means. It's not that he will see Krishna standing in the sea, Krishna standing in the sky. No. He is seeing everywhere only spirit. There is no matter existing for him anymore. Saril samudramscha hare shariram. It is Krishna's body. When you look at the sea, it is Krishna's body. When he looks at, because he is not seeing anymore through his eyes, through the senses. It is through the senses we see the body, we see the name, we see the form or the shape and everything, isn't it? But realized souls, they don't look through the eyes anymore. From inside there is a different way of seeing things. So that stage has come to Prahlada already, what Kavi Maharshi is talking about. Saril samudramscha hare shariram yal kinjabhudam praname dhananyaha. At that point, all they can do is to pay their respects to Krishna. It's only Krishna exists everywhere, nothing else exists in this creation. That stage comes to him. That is why when he saw the lion, when he saw the snakes, Hiranyakashipu was thinking all different things and trying to kill Prahlada different ways. But that this state is a very powerful state where Prahlada was. It's a very advanced and powerful state, that is. So, if you start saying that only Krishna exists everywhere, we don't have that strength in us today to see things like that, isn't it? We don't have that strength. So therefore, he says here, for us, what is inside? What do we have inside? Very powerful ignorance inside us, isn't it? Very powerful ignorance. That's why we can't see that. Therefore, Krishna is saying to us, at least start with this one thing. Rasoham apsu kaundeya. Prabhasmi shashisuryayam. So I am present in there in the form of taste in the water. To start with. To get the first... you remember they have these taster sessions. I wish they could taste Bhagavatam like that. They are running taster sessions. So what will taster sessions will do? I don't know. So anyway... So, the thing is this, Rasoham apsu kaundeya. So, Krishna is also running a taster session. He's saying to us, if you can't see all that, what Prahlada is doing, don't worry about it. At least look at the water, and when you drink the water, think about the taste of the water. He says, think about the taste of the water, and that's me. That is Krishna's taster session. And then... So, in the water, I am present that rasam, that taste, or the taste is me. Krishna says there, isn't it? And similarly, prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. Sun and the moon, I am the prabha, the effulgence from the sun and the moon, that's me. That is me. This is all Krishna's vibhuti, special manifestations, isn't it? So, what should we do when we get in the morning hours, when Krishna comes first? In the form of the sun, that we should chant the holy name and look at the sun. Look at the sun. So Krishna is present in the sun, and this is the first appearance of that divinity in this world, the appearance of the sun. So many people don't know where the sun rises in the morning, because by the time they get up, more or less the sun goes, leaves this world. So only they have seen sun leaving. You have not seen the sun coming to this world. So where did he come? If you ask them, they won't know about it, where he came from. So anyway, Hiranyavarna has Varna Jyotihi, he says. So while chanting Gayatri, this is quite common that you appear, you face the sun and chant the Gayatri. And consider it to be very auspicious. And we have to see Krishna. People say, they want to see Krishna, they want to see Vishnu, they want to see Shiva. But if you say to them, if somebody says to you that, oh, I have seen Krishna,
or I have seen Shiva, you will think that, oh, he must be a great person, he has seen Shiva or he has seen Krishna. But Shiva and Vishnu cannot appear in front of you with so much effulgence like the sun comes. But sun, we won't give accept him. We'll accept some Vishnu or Shiva whom we have been told will come to you one day and appear in front of you. So the difficulty is that, so when we see the sun, we are not seeing anything extraordinary about it. We just take it for granted, isn't it? We just take it for granted. So, so whatever we may be, whatever meditation you perform or austerities you perform, still every morning Krishna comes in the form of the sun. Said, but when in the hot countries, when the sun comes, what do they say? Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's sweating. And you curse him first for coming. That's in the hot weather you do. In the cold weather, you want to bathe, sunbathe. That's all. So you don't want anything more than from him. If he comes well and good, we'll take advantage of that. So, but that form is Krishna's vibhuti. Krishna wants us to see the sun and recognize Krishna's presence there. So similarly, Purnami day, and that means a full moon day, when the moon comes out and moon spreads that, moon shine everywhere, we will not give much of attention to that. We will see, and Krishna is saying there that the Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho, both sunshine and moonshine you should look at and recognize me there. We should stand on the terrace and look at the moonshine. So the moon is shining. Moon is shining. The word used there in Sanskrit is jyotsna. Jyotsna is the word for the moonshine. So that light that's coming from the moon, Krishna says, that is me. And if you start looking at all of them as Krishna's opulences, Bhagavad Vibhuti, so you can see each and everything gives you a spiritual experience if you start looking at it in that way. Actually, for people who have got mental problems in any way, they are always advised to stand and look at the moon, look at the full moon, and that will give cool there, that will have an effect on their mind when one is very disturbed inside. It is advised to stand and look at the moon when it's giving the full moon day, to look at the moon. And if you have not developed any taste for looking at the sun or looking at the moon, what it means is that you have not studied Bhagavad Gita. That's the conclusion. Practically in life, nothing has happened. Okay, you may have got the Bhakti Shastri title and all that, got the certificates, everything, but you haven't understood Bhagavad Gita. That is the conclusion. That is the conclusion of the great personalities and who have understood Bhagavad Gita and who have realized Bhagavad Gita. They are saying to us, if after seeing the sun and the moon, if you have not recognized anything in them, Krishna's presence in this world, that means you have not studied Bhagavad Gita. The other things are different. They are not accepted. They are not taken. So you can see here, all this gives you a spiritual experience. So, so in Purnami day, there is a rule among the Brahmanas that they should face the moon and chant the holy name. It is quite accepted thing. In the Lalita Sahasranamam also, thousand names of Lalita Devi's thousand names, that Purnami day, looking at the moon, there says there, Raga Chandra Samana Kandi Vadana. Sri Parvati's face, Lalita Devi's face is compared, Raga Chandra Samana Kandi Vadana. Her face is like the moonshine. The effulgence from her face is like the moonshine. Raga Chandra Samana Kandi Vadana, it says. So that Chandriya, that the moonshine, is her, the bodily complexion is like that. That color of the moonshine, moonshining. That is the complexion, it says. So that is her. So that will give you a cooling effect on the mind. All the medicines also, aushadhi, isn't it? Medicines are, the medicinal power of many of the herbs is coming from the moon. From the moon. The farmers get the benefit in their production of the vegetables and the grains, everything.
For those who are not farmers, we get the benefit in the form of medicines. Most of the medicines are extracted from these plants, isn't it? From the plants. And those plants have got that medicinal potency from the moonshine. Without the moonshine, they won't have that medicinal potency in them. So, if we say all these things, people will say that, well, there's no problem. We can get all in the form of tablets, 60 tablets, 30 tablets, packages from Boots. Why we have to do all these things? This will be their question. But if you keep looking at the tablets, you will remain as a tablet only. You will not see Krishna anywhere. You will see only the tablet there. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. Krishna is saying there, in Vedam, Pranavam is me. Pranavam means the Om. Om is me. Pranavam is Vedam. And Pranavam's Vyahrda Rupam. Vyahrdam, Avyahrdam. Two things. So, Vyahrda Rupa means every sound has got its original form, isn't it? Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari, the four stages, yeah? So, in that para form, it is Avyahrda form. Avyahrda form. It's not manifested yet. But when the Vedic hymns, Sargveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, all of them, in its manifested form, the essence is Om. The condensed form of that is Om. Avyahrda Pranavam. And that is the original of the sound. Nada Brahmam, Shabda Brahmam. Two things we talked about before. Nada Brahmam and Shabda Brahmam. Sound as the on aspect of Brahmam. I mentioned this also. Then that when Chitrakedu went to see Lord Balaram, at that point, there he was instructed, isn't it? Chitrakedu went to see who? To Balaram, yes. Yes, but when he went to see him, you will see there that Chitrakedu saw him and he was instructed by Sangarshana Murthy, isn't it? So Sangarshana Balaram instructed him and gave him a position of Vidyadhara. That means he can stay as a Vidyadhara, travel all the planets with a group of people who could sing and glorify the Lord. That was the idea behind it. So at that time, when instructions were given to Chitrakedu, Balaram spoke something. He says, Aham vai sarva bhudani. Bhudhalma bhuda bhavana shabda brahma param brahma mamobhe shashwati tanu. This was the one of the verses from Lord Balaram's instructions to Chitrakedu. He says to him, Aham vai sarva bhudani bhudhalma bhuda bhavana. I am present in everyone as the soul. I am present in everyone as the soul. They, Lord Balaram, Krishna, they are all speaking from the spiritual plane. Always we have to remember this in mind. We should not think, only Krishna is present in me as the soul, not Balaram. No. When Balaram is speaking, he is speaking from the same stages as Krishna stages. In two different forms, the Absolute Truth has appeared. Krishna has appeared in one form, Balaram has appeared in another form. So that's why he is saying there, Aham vai sarva bhudani, I am the person. And if you look at the statement there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, as though Krishna is speaking, but Balaram is the person who is speaking there. Aham vai sarva bhudani bhudalpa bhuda bhavana. I am present in everyone as the bhudalpa bhuda bhavana. I am the soul of everyone. And shabda brahma param brahma. I have two aspects. Shabda brahmam and param brahmam. Mamo bhe shashwati tanu. And these two forms are eternal, he says. Shashwati tanu. They are my two eternal forms. Which one? Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. Vedas are coming from Shabda Brahmam. Vedas are coming from Shabda Brahmam. They are coming product of Shabda Brahmam. That is why it's spoken. Now, in the Bhagavadam, while instructing Uddhava, Krishna is saying there that Durbhodham. About it, he says, Durbhodham. Shabda Brahmam is Durbhodham. He uses the word Durbhodham. Durbhodham means difficult to understand. Difficult to understand. It's not easy, he says there. So, to go and touch the Shabda Brahmam is very, very rare. It's very, very rare thing to happen. And sages are those personalities who have touched the Shabda Brahma. That is how they got all the Vedas into their hands. Isn't it? They were revealed through them. They are drashtava, they call it. In other words, the Vedas were revealed to them. That means they have gone and touched Shabda Brahma through their austerities and penance. It is not easy. Krishna says it is durbodham to touch the Shabda Brahma. From once you know how to touch the Shabda Brahma, all these Vedic hymns will be revealed unto you. Will be revealed unto you. Sages have got. That is why different Vedas you will see attributed to different sages who have got that. Yajnavalkya Maharshi, Taittiriya Upanishad and all has come through him. Then Varuna and Bhrigu, Taittiriya also comes, talks through them. Then we have got Chandokya Upanishad, Kathopanishad, where comes through Nachiketas and Yama Dharmaraja. Like that, all these great, great personalities, they have touched their Shabda Brahmam and they have got these, through them we have got it. Through them we have got it. That's why when you study Upanishads, you can see that it is coming from a very higher plane. It's coming from a very higher plane. And they are just speaking their realizations explicitly and very straight. They talk about it. So, similarly, that same thing that the sages who have touched Shabda Brahmam, their words will be very forceful and very powerful they will be. Very powerful. And it will have its power. Their words will have its power. And their sound also will have its power behind it. Whatever they have spoken will be true. Whatever they have spoken will be true. There is a statement about that. That vajo vajo arthanu dhavati. That means sages, whatever they speak, it will come true. It will come true. Everything has a healing power. So this prabancham or this creation which has come from the sound, and this is where every time pranavam pranavam they call it om, they talk about that, and it will be completely new. For example, many great musicians who were great devotees, they did not take to music for the sake of music. They have touched the Shabda Brahmam. They have Nada Brahmam, they call it, through their upasana, through their sadhana, in other words, that their devotion was centered around music. And through music, they only glorified the absolute truth, Krishna. Nothing else. They won't glorify anything else. So, it is from their music originated, in other words. Like we say about the gopis, isn't it? They are the original personalities from whom Hindustani music had come from them. Similarly, in other music traditions also, great musicians who were so God-conscious and who were so attached to the self-realization, they were all great. Not only they were interested in music, the main thing inside was always self-realization. And music was only a vehicle for them. So, in that way, you will see great personalities, many glorifications, what they have written, they all have that power in them, in their glorifications. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavadam that when we worship Krishna, you should sing those songs, not any songs what we write. We are also a lot of songwriters, isn't it? All, many of us also who are writing songs and feeling that. But they are not to be sung. Only those written by the great devotees, through their realizations, they should be sung, not any other song. That is why Krishna mentions that. So the source of everything is Brahmam, Shabda Brahmam, in other words. So that is why Shabdake, Krishna is saying, sound comes from the sky, from the sky. So why they saw, why they sung like that, it is very difficult to explain that. It's very difficult to explain that. Because they are singing those songs from their realizations after the Shabda Brahmam. After the Shabda Brahmam. That is, therefore, it is inexplicable. You can't explain that. So,
So the word, you can see how the holy name is also, why so important, the holy name. The word Rama, Krishna, these two words are not ordinary words in that sense. It's just not some sound it has come. It has come from the spiritual world. It has a, one was spoken, Garga Maharshi gave that to Krishna. And Rama was given by Vasishtha, isn't it? Ramachandra was given, Vasishtha has given the name. Those two sages were personalities who had connection with the Shabda Brahman. So when they give a sound like that, Rama or Krishna, the holy names like that, it has got its strength. Even you can see here, there is a statement, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is a statement like that, isn't it? Heard about that. So what does it mean? The Word was God. So the power of the Word, in other words, all words have got this strength which is coming from. What we speak now in the form of words, by the time it becomes Vaikari, it is in a very gross form. But when it's coming from the most subtle level, para level, it has got a greater strength behind it. Before it gets mixed with the mind, mixed with our senses, vasanas, everything. So initially there was only sound, or sound was near. That is from there, probably the scientists have also come about this big bang. Then there was a sound, big sound, and from there everything has come. So anyway, so Sanal Sujadiyam also talks about that Ega Vedasya Vijnana Vedarde, it says there. So because we don't know about the, we don't know the origin of the Vedas, where it came from, we have to study so much about all those things. But once you have touched that, what it says is that whatever one person is speaking, that becomes the Vedam. Once you have touched that state of Shabda Brahma. It's just Shabda Brahma. Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. Pranavam. Pranavam is Om. In all Vedas, this Om comes. Isn't it? All Vedic hymns starts with Om. So, you can see Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om, 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 everywhere. So, so this Om is the Vyahrada Rupam. Vyahrada Rupam is the Shabda Brahmam. The Vyahrada Rupam of that, manifested form of that, is Om. Is Om. So, in the sky there is the sound. And that means the sky has this quality, Shabdam. Shabdam is the sound of the, or Shabdam and sky is not different. This is the understanding. Sound, it's tanmatra, sky is tanmatra, is sound. In other words, sound and the sky is non different. And similarly, the earth and the smell, they are the same. So in other words, smell is the earth. Smell is the earth. Similarly, taste of the water, taste and the water, rasam. Rasam and the water is the same. And fire and the form is the same. Particular form is due to fire. And touch due to air. And sound due to sky. So, Krishna is saying here, in the sky I am present in the form of the sound. In the sky, I am present in the form of sound. And similarly, and that is why Shabdhake Paurusham Nrushu. So in the human society, we have what we call as the three things. It mentions like this. It is in the Bhagavatam also. Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. When these three things combine together, things happen in this world. Ichha Shakti, first the desiring potency, to desire something. Then Jnana Shakti, how to execute that desire, how to acquire that, what is to be done for that. Then Kriya Shakti, your ability to do what is necessary to get it. So Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. In the Lalita Sahasranama it says, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. She is the manifestation in three different potencies. She is present in this
world. So it says here, the first movement that happens in that consciousness is Ichashakti. The first movement, Chalanam, it happens, is Ichashakti, the desiring potency. And then it comes, Parapashyanti Madhyama Vaigari. The Ichashakti is the first movement, happens, and then it turns into Jnana Shakti and eventually to Kriya Shakti. We can notice that in our own activities, isn't it? First we desire something, then we plan something, how to execute it, and then it turns into action. This is how everything happens, isn't it? Ichashakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Three things happen. So all these three things together in a person is also called Paurusham. In another sense, it is also spoken like that. We say Paurusham, and all these three things are there, only then things can happen. Otherwise it won't happen. Suppose you had only desire, power, potency and action, it may not happen. The knowledge also should be there, isn't it? Similarly, if you have desire and the knowledge, it may not happen if the action is not there. Similarly, if you have no desire, but if you have knowledge and action, it may not happen again. Desire should be there to motivate the action properly. So these three things in everyone, every stage in life, you can see, Ichashakti, desiring power, Jnana Shakti, power of knowledge, Kriya Shakti, power of action. All three things are together. They work together. So only if you have all the three, you can do something. You can achieve something. So people ask this question, that what we succeed in life, is it due to our ability or is it due to destiny? You will always see this question. People have always this doubt, isn't it? You know, that it's a big doubt in everybody's mind. Things happen due to destiny or things happen due to one's ability in life. So, question is, whose destiny? That's the question. So, we talk about Paurusham. Paurusham means ability. And we keep on talking about it. It is mine, it's my ability. And who is me who is talking about these things? So, this ability in a person itself is Krishna's presence in that person. Krishna's presence in that person. So, this destiny is also Krishna's another form. Krishna's another form. So, but because of our duality, we are in that dual world exist, isn't it? Because we are not accepting Krishna's presence now. It's always me, 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 me. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Therefore, because of that, that this question is coming in us. Whether it is ability or whether it is destiny. This question is coming because we have identified with our body and we see separate from the original source, where it's coming from. The ability is coming from that source, same source who decides the destiny. Both are coming from there. But when we identify with ourselves, body, we start thinking, is this my ability or is it my destiny? This doubt has come into our mind. From a spiritual point of view, there is no such thing as ability, there is no such thing as destiny. Neither of them has any meaning. It's purely when you are in the bodily identity, you take all these things very seriously. Ability of destiny and ability of ability and destiny. You take it very seriously. Give you an example. You see, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, a very important statement. Sarvasya jaham hridi sannivishto matta smridir jnanam apohanam cha. Vedeshya sarver ahameva vedyo vedandavid krit vedam ideva chaham. There's a verse there, isn't it? I think it's 15th chapter or something. When he talks about the Supreme Person, he says about himself. Krishna says supreme state is like that. When you are in the supreme state of realization, this is the situation. There it says, sarvasya jaham hridi sannivishto. Everywhere I am present, in everyone's heart. Matta smriti jnanam abohanam. That smriti jnanam abohanam, memory, knowledge and forgetfulness. Now we read Bhagavad Gita, don't we? And we think, it says it's coming from Krishna. And then we'll tell everybody, smriti jnanam abohanam cha. But I don't know what we have understood from that. The verse is saying something much more deeper things. Smriti jnanam abohanam cha. So, but we will read that verse. Next moment we will say, I can't remember that now, what I was thinking about something else. So that means you have not understood that verse. What Krishna is saying to us is that if somebody is remembering something, it's only because Krishna is remembering there, not me. Krishna is remembering there. Smriti or memory is Krishna completely controls this memory. We have no control at all on this thing called memory. Absolutely no control. If Krishna helps you, you can remember. If Krishna wants you to remember, you will remember. If Krishna withdraws, you can't remember anything. The best example, Radha Krishna, who wrote Bhagavad Gita's commentary, who was known so well for this particular strength of memory, he knew everything. Everything he knew. Whole Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, any Vedic literature you ask him, he had answer to it. The verses, which Upanishad, which Puranam, anything he can quote. He was so recognized all over the world on the Vedic tradition as an authority in the Vedic science. This personality, at the time of death, he couldn't even remember his name. He couldn't even remember his name. Prabhupada went to see him at the time of death. And this is what happened. And that will make you understand, all this time, things were happening. Why? Because Krishna was there remembering for him. Krishna decided that he should remember, he was able to remember. The moment Krishna decided you can't remember anything, in his own name, he couldn't remember. That is the reality. Eh? But we foolishly think, oh, he can remember so much, he can remember so much. Nothing you can remember. All Krishna remembers. That is coming from Krishna. It is Krishna's presence inside who is remembering on our behalf, and it comes out through this mouth. That's all it is. But who remembers? Krishna remembers. Krishna remembers. The scientists will say, oh, we have cut open the brain. This part is the memory part. This part is the intelligence part. This part is... They are seeing everything through this matter. That's all they know. Nothing else, as they have no idea that there is something higher than this working principle behind it. My question, or your question also could be, after a person is dead, all that thing is there. Can you use it like a hard drive to store anything there at that time? So where is all the memory gone? The whole matter is still there, isn't it? So what has gone then? We talk about their memory, or he could remember everything. Everything in life is like that, if you think about it. Knowledge, for example, jnanam. Krishna says three things, mattam, jnanam, apohanam. Three things he talks about there, isn't it? Jnanam, knowledge, yeah? Scientists are conducting experiments. They keep on working. So many scientists are working in so many laboratories in the world. But one somewhere, unknown place, he gets it. He gets it, something he finds out. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? Do you think that it is because of the effort that he has put in, he got it? No. All what has happened is, when material nature decided to release some information to this world, it was released through him. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. When material nature decides to release some information into this world, it is released to someone, and it so happened that he happens to be the person. That's all. But here, we make a big thing out of it. Nobel Prizes, and this prize, and that prize, and everything. And we'll make a big thing, making him as the, oh, he is a real brain behind it, they'll say, like that, isn't it? So this is our foolishness, who are doing this. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, smriti, memory, is Krishna who remembers. And there is many examples like this, that big intelligent men in this world, the whole body is there, but when they get this, dementia or something, they can't even remember where they are living. Somebody was standing outside the house and asking, where am I standing now? That is how cruel the nature is sometimes to show to us that none of them is in our hands. We are foolishly thinking like this, that we are the, everything is in us, and I am that person who has got everything in my hands, complete control on everything. All this illusion in the head. Krishna says, get out of that illusion, all these things. Smriti, jnanam. Then the last one, abohanam. Abohanam means what? Forgetfulness. Now, so does that mean, now, this forgetfulness is the greatest benediction Krishna has given to us. Suppose, if you can remember everything what has happened in life, we won't be sitting here like this. We'll be walking around with a knife in the street. This is the greatest gift from Krishna, this forgetfulness. Suppose in the past life, somebody has done something to me and I remember this now. And if I see him now, and if that memory comes back to me, remember, what will I do? I will do. So it is there. These things you cannot write it off. Krishna has deliberately done this to us so that we can somewhat have some peace in this life. We keep forgetting. It's just like, say, when you were very young, you had experienced some great distress in life, like you lost your father, mother, or some serious separation happened to you and you felt very distressed at that time. You see, after a year or so, it slowly goes away. And after 10, 20 years, it just remains in the memory. It's not disturbing you anymore. It's not a distress anymore. Why? Abohanam cha. Krishna says abohanam has helped you. So this forgetfulness is a great mercy, Krishna's mercy. If it wasn't there, we couldn't live in this world. It won't be possible. So just imagine all your previous lifetimes. All your previous lifetimes, if you start looking back, because in one of the lifetimes, we were living inside the hole, underneath the tree. Like what? Like the snake, isn't it? You remember that. Then we were wandering around like a tiger or a lion in the forest in another life. If you keep remembering all these different lifetimes from previous life, you can imagine what will be our situation. And once this story about Chatambi Swamiji is there, once he was wandering through a field where they were plowing, the two bulls, and there was this man who was plowing the land two bulls tied together, the yoke on another. So he was beating one of the bulls with the whip, very forcefully he was beating. So Chatambi Swamiji was walking along the, between the fields, there is a place to walk through, a footpath-like thing. He was walking through that, and he was beating this. So he stood there and told him, beat him very well, finish up all your business from the last life. So this man comes up to him and says, why are you talking like that? He says, that's your uncle from the last life. You are just finishing up all your accounts. Because uncle must have given him a lot of trouble in the previous life. So this life, uncle has come as the bull. Now you beat him as much as you want for all what he has done to you. So this is that account settlement. And this is what's going on in this world. Everyone in this world with whom we come to contact with, there is somewhere some connection from previous life. That's what you have to remember. There's something from previous life, some connection. All that account is getting settled in this life, one after the other. And we creating new accounts, closing old accounts. This is what life is all about. This is all life is all about. Otherwise, before marriage, where is the connection? After the marriage, we love so much each other, all kinds of things, we talk about it. There is nothing. Actually, the reality is there is some things to be squared up. The balance sheet is not properly settled. That's why we are together. That's all it is. So, Krishna is saying here that this thing called the Paurusham and destiny, that's what we were talking about first, isn't it? Paurusham and destiny, there is nothing to think about it. It's only foolishness to think whether it is ability or whether it is destiny. Always people ask this question. They will ask this question all the time. But they don't understand, both are Krishna. Ability is Krishna, isn't it? And destiny is what? Destiny is your karma that is happening in particular way. And that is also, Krishna has the control over it. But control have we got? So, this question to ask itself has no meaning. The question itself is meaningless. So, if this understanding comes, while performing sadhana, it will help. While performing sadhana also, this understanding should be there. The reason is that when we are executing sadhana, spiritual sadhana in other words, we are thinking we are executing, isn't it? That's our false ego. Actually, it is our false ego. Actually, Krishna is saying the doer and the enjoyer is me, even in sadhana. Doer is me, enjoyer is also me. That's what Krishna's point is. It is only in the early days in spiritual life, when we start our sadhana, we don't take into account all these things. Because initially it should be like that. Somebody has to get started, isn't it, in spiritual life. You have to get him started. So at that time, you have to tell him, chant 16 rounds every day. And the person will take it as a responsible instructions in the beginning. You have to take it as a responsible instruction. But if you keep on thinking, I have to chant, I have to chant, I have to chant, I'm chanting, that is not a good thing. Because at some stage in that chanting process also, what will happen is, you'll start realizing, it's when you have come to terms with instructions from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you'll start realizing all this sadhana is also in Krishna's control. It's not in my control. You'll come to understand that at some point. When will you understand that? After performing sadhana for a very long time, you will get frustrated. You'll get frustrated. Nothing is happening in spiritual life. Only at that time, you will understand that it is not your effort. Up to that point, you'll think, I have chanted 64 rounds, 128 rounds, 192 rounds, all these things. But at a particular time, everybody goes through this. It is not an exception to anyone. Everyone goes through that. We keep chanting the holy name for a long period of time, and at some point in time, you feel helpless about it. Nothing is happening in life. That is when the false ego give way to for the real understanding that now what is chanting is happening. Krishna is chanting through this body, it's happening. And if anything happens from that, it's also Krishna's desire. That's where you are accepting Krishna's authority there. Up to that point, you won't accept that. You will chant as though, I'm doing this, Krishna should give that to me. This is the relationship at that stage, in the beginning, isn't it? In the beginning, that is the relationship with Krishna. I'm doing the 16 rounds, I'm chanting, which I've been instructed. Now what's happening? To Krishna, we have this question. Or 64 rounds, whatever it is. But at some stage, when we completely realize that you are not capable of doing anything in spiritual life, that is when you will surrender. That's when you will surrender, which is a different state altogether. So at that time, that ability to chant, that power is also coming from Krishna. That power is also coming from Krishna. And similarly, everything comes from Him. That is what these verses in the 7th chapter used to tell us this, that on your own you have nothing to offer in this world. Everything is coming from Krishna. If you study Bhagavad Gita very well, you will come to understand that there is nothing for us to do in this world, practically. There is nothing to do in this world. We are this doing, doing, doing has been deeply driven into our heads that we think that if we don't do it, nothing will happen. The whole world is running on because of my doing. We think like that. We are just visitors, came here for a few years and gone from here. What's our doing in this world? Why so much importance to it? Even in spiritual life, Krishna, that is why Dhruva said this to Krishna. You remember that? Dhruva's words, when he saw Krishna, what he says? Yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeeva yatagila shakti dhara sodhamna anyamsha hasta charana shravanam toga din prana namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. That is perfection of that realization. This is, you see, Dhruva performed 6 months of austerity, isn't it? 6 months, he was in the forest. And few weeks only drinking water, few weeks only eating these dry leaves, standing on 1 foot. And by the end of the 6 months, the air was coming out, Ushmava it's mentioned, it goes and started causing suffocation for the demigods. That's when they went to Krishna and told him that we are experiencing this powerful force coming from the earth. Krishna understood what is the cause, that Dhruva is the height of his yogic power was coming at that age, at 6. And Krishna comes to see Dhruva, isn't it? So Dhruva could not speak anything. Initially Dhruva couldn't say anything. So immediately Krishna understood, took his conch shell and touched on Dhruva's cheek. Kapolam. And when he touched the cheek, from inside came Vaikari Shabdam, woke up from inside and comes out. And that is the first verse. Yonda pravishyamamava ajamimam prasuptam. But by whose presence inside I am able to speak? Dhruva is saying, I am able to speak by whose presence inside? Sanjeeva yadi akhila shakti dhara sudhanam. All what is happening inside the body, this body is nothing but just an instrument. Krishna is working through this, all of us, all these bodies in different ways. He runs this show inside the kitchen we discussed, the stomach. He runs this business of circulation of the blood, everything. So blood circulation, isn't it? That is the heart pumping, mechanical maybe, but it is happening. Then the air, what comes in, distributed all over the body. And all of them is happening only because of Krishna's presence inside. Is it not? Sanjeevayadhi agila shakti dhara sudhamna. That everything that's happening in this body, if Krishna is not present there, it won't happen. Anyamscham hastacharana shravana tugadin. That hands and the legs, they are moving. Why? Because Krishna is present inside. Therefore they are moving. But we don't recognize any of those things, do they? We don't see any of these things. The subtle things, nothing we recognize. Pranan namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. That pranan, the life force in everyone, is Krishna. Is Krishna. So similarly, it is here also, it says here, that it's only that due to that Krishna's presence, things are happening. Now, from the bodily level, so many things are spoken. The blood circulation, the food digestion, evacuation from the body, and three states of existence, Jagrat, Svapnam, Sushupti. All of them is Krishna's influence in us. After that, on a subtle level, memory, forgetfulness, knowledge, also Krishna controls. In other words, what do we control? We have on this, in anything. And still, we are asking, you are telling us that we have got a free will. How much free will have we got? What free will are you talking about? The whole thing is run by somebody and you are talking about free will. What free will have we got? And that is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are called Mutha. That's the word used about us. Those who are thinking that they are running the show all the time, they are called Mutha. Mudha means who could not understand anything, although very explicitly spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So many things are happening in the body. We don't even know what's going on inside. Do the doctors know? They also don't know. They talk about all big things, so much. They are also making a business out of it, so many of them. But they make it so complicated and make you feel that this whole thing is in their control. Same thing the scientists do, all of them. Practically, nobody understands Krishna's presence and Krishna's activities in this body. That you will see when great sages, great personalities, self-realized souls, when their words come from their mouth, you can see how they perceive this body. What these doctors and others talk about, such big things about it. That is the way it is. Unfortunately, we don't have that perception in us. We don't have that realization in us. We are still thinking that everything is in our control, isn't it? So that's where it's coming, like that. So this, there is no question that, India you see these thousands of auto rickshaws, you know, what they mean, the three wheelers. Everywhere they are just like ants in all big cities, everywhere. Because they got one advantage, smallest place they'll keep through that. That's the big menace in the traffic. They don't follow any rules, any regulations, nothing. So you get into one of them, and some of them are friendly, they'll talk to you. And if you see them the way they drive, it's very interesting to watch. And they are very localized, they don't go long distances. In every small towns, villages, you will see them, 50, 60 of them in a row standing there. And they'll be chatting and each other and waiting for business. And whoever the first customer comes, they'll get the first one and they'll go like that. You know, there's a system, like the taxi stand in the cities. And this is all over now. It's all over. But because they are very localized, they know the routes very well, much more. So if you want to ask someone a particular place which you don't know very well, you go into a very interior part of the country, you want to find out the exact address, and these people will know, these auto rickshaw drivers, they'll know everything. So once when you talk to this auto rickshaw driver, he was driving and he was singing some song and he was very happily driving in that mood. So after we reached the destination, he's saying that I didn't know I got here, he's saying. He himself says, because it's just to show that already in a subtle level it is happening. He was very much self-realized in that sense, that things were happening through him. He was not identifying with the work anymore. It has become so much a part of this psyche in that way. So he says here that I have understood, he says, that I am not driving the auto rickshaw anymore. It is just happening. So much he has become free from the from that understanding. That so it's not that when Prahlada was talking about that, we should study that Prahlada's prayers very well. Then you will not understand. And with Bhagavad Gita, if you study that together, you will notice that what Krishna is talking about is a reality with Prahlada. And when you come to that, you can appreciate what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, we will just think that, oh, science will reject all this. Would they not? Will science accept Prahlada's statement? They won't accept Prahlada's statement. They will simply say to you, you are a crazy person. This is all nonsense, they will say. That's all they know. They don't know anything else. What can you do? But if you accept Bhagavad Gita, if you accept Krishna's instructions on in spiritual life in Bhagavad Gita, if you study Prahlada's experience, that is why that Prahlada story is in the Bhagavadam. It is not to show us that, from a devotional platform, yes, we will say he was a devotee, he was protected by Krishna. That's the devotee's way of explaining. But that is not the only truth. The truth is, if you come to the realized state, matter cannot have any influence on anyone after that. That he has gone beyond what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that Uttama Purushasthanyam, that Purushottama stages come in self-realization. After that, there is no seeing anymore from the material eyes, material sound. All that is gone. He is not anymore identifying with the body. He's not identifying anymore with the body. And it is that person's state is what Prahlada, what you see in the Bhagavadam. What you see in the Bhagavadam. To explain it. Otherwise, it will be very difficult for these people to understand. If you tell them that, oh, Prahlada, nothing happened to him, even if he thrown from the cliff. Devotees will also think, yes, Krishna has protected him. But then you may also ask the question, why has he put a devotee through all these things? If you are only seeing from the bodily level, that's the way you will think about it, isn't it? Do I have to go through all this to become a devotee? That I have to be thrown from the cliff, I have to be bitten by the snakes, I have to be bitten by the tigers and lions, and do I have to go through all these things to become to Prahlada stage? That's not the idea behind it. It's not to tell us that you have to go through all these things. That's not the goal. The goal is, through that Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu stage, Bhagavatam is explaining to us the Upanishad's knowledge, which tells us that in the self-realized state, body cannot have any effect on you, the person. And that highly advanced state of Prahlada, where we are only seeing the spirit in everything, there is no influence of anything what we consider in the material level, has no impact there. Cannot have any impact on him. Unfortunately, this can only come through realization. When you come to that state, it cannot be explained anything more than that. But if you understand this much, that the stone and the earth is not the thing inside. Krishna is saying here that force of Krishna inside in the form of Paurusham. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu chedana rupa samsthira namastase 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 namo nama. Chaitanya means that Paurusham, that ability inside. Then, look at the next verse. Verse 9. Another example. Krishna is saying, verse 9. Punyo gandha prativyamsham tejascha asmi vibhavasam ജീവനം സർവഭൂതേഷു തപശ്ചാസ്മി തപസ്വിഷു പുണ്യോ ഗന്ധപ്രദീവ്യാംശ്ച തേജശ്ചാസ്മി വിഭാവസൌ ജീവനം സർവഭൂതേഷു തപശ്ചാസ്മി തപസ്വിഷു പുണ്യോ ഗന്ധ പൃഥിവ്യാംശ്ച തേജശ്ചാസ്മി വിഭാവസൌ ജീവനം സർവഭൂതേഷു തപശ്ച അസ്മി തപസ്വിഷു. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ്, ട്രാൻസ്ലേഷൻ: ഐ ആം ദി ഒറിജിനൽ ഫ്രാഗ്രൻസ് ഓഫ് ദി എർത്ത്, ഐ ആം ദ ഹീറ്റ് ഇൻ ഫയർ, ഐ ആം ദ ലൈഫ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ലിവ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഐ ആം ദി പെനൻസ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ അസെറ്റിക്സ്. സോ പുണ്യോഗന്ധ പൃഥിവ്യാംശ്ച തേജശ്ചാസ്മി വിഭാവസോ ജീവനം സർവഭൂതേഷു തപശ്ചാസ്മി തപസ്സുഷു. സോ ഇറ്റ്സ് ആ പ്ലസ് ഫൈവ്. ഡിസ്കസ് ഇറ്റ് ഓൺ ടുമോറോ. യെസ്. ഓൾ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറി ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ.